Right, the Cabinet today, a number of bills for introduction. The Property Law Reform Bill, which is a major rewrite of New Zealand property law, eagerly awaited by those who work within that framework. It's also the bill for the judicial retirement age to be raised to the age of 70. It's been approved for introduction, as has the Subordinate Legislation Confirmation and Validation Bill, and also the Appropriation Parliamentary Expenditure Validation Bill following advice from Treasury and the Speaker's recommendation that the expenditure the Controller and Auditor General has ruled outside the appropriation should be validated by Parliament. More policy decisions today around the ambush marketing legislation, which Trevor Mallard has been working on with particular reference to the Rugby World Cup. Work going on the new criminal justice legislation. We signalled the policy on that with the big launch around criminal justice issues a couple of months ago. And also we've approved the policy for a new food bill, which is a rewrite of the 1981 legislation. So that's going to be quite a big bill when introduced. Discussion papers approved. Fairly dry and dusty today. Tax penalties, tax agents and disclosure. A second one on tax incentives for giving to charities and other non-profit organisations. The agreement to issue a document on that goes back to the competence and supply discussions with United Future. And there's also a discussion paper ready to go on insolvency practitioner regulation options for change. Coming up in the House this week, we expect to give urgency tomorrow to all stages of the Appropriation Parliamentary Expenditure Validation Bill. Otherwise, in the week, we would be looking to progress the Reserve Bank Amendment Bill, second reading. Communications legislation, committee stages to be continued, committee stages of the Sports Anti-Doping Bill, and at this time the ACC Bill of Ruth Dyson is waiting for a first reading. Otherwise, coming up this week, we expect a statement from Phil Gough tomorrow around the composition of the military force that helps in the Solomons. We're expecting Ruth Dyson to be in a position to announce the discussion document that work has been going on pursuant to election promises around developing a code of practice for home equity conversion schemes, particularly useful for older citizens. Come Thursday, Steve Mahari will have something to say about progress and timelines for meeting the new quality standards in early childhood education, and of course reaffirming the 20 hours free for 3 and 4 year olds in early childhood centres from mid next year. Friday there will be a release on the results of the large budget screen production grant scheme over the past year, which I understand will show significant benefits to the New Zealand economy. Come Labour weekend, I will be going up on the Monday evening to Nandi for the Pacific Island Forum, and it's shaping up to be a reasonably contentious forum with the issues which have broken out around the Solomon Islands. Clearly the ongoing role of the regional assistance mission is attracting a lot of comment in the Solomons itself. The expulsion of the Australian High Commissioner from Honiara was a most regrettable matter. Australia's attempts to seek extradition of Mr. Moti, the Solomons Attorney General, from Papua New Guinea were foiled when he left the country, and the ongoing fallout from that has led to the announcement by the Australian government of the suspension of ministerial contact between Australia and Papua New Guinea. So those will certainly be issues which will need to be addressed at the forum, I guess, in the leaders' retreat. On the agenda for the forum was actually a review of the first year of the Pacific Plan and talks around a possible overhaul of the region's institutional structures. The Pacific Island Forum has quite a lot of small agencies, and a report was commissioned to look at whether there could be some consolidation and rationalisation around that. There's also been a report done for leaders on how to enhance the post-forum dialogue. It's a feeling that that could be made more worthwhile for the major external partners like the EU, France, the UK, the United States in particular. Should also note that the United States Assistant Secretary of State Christopher Hill has been invited to come to the post-forum dialogue this year, and he will be meeting and talking with the leaders at a special session of the forum. It's expected to be discussion around the regional trade agenda, and in that context labour mobility issues are also likely to be raised. There will be applications for associate membership of the forum considered from New Caledonia and French Polynesia, and observer applications from Wallis and Futuna, the United Nations, the ADB and the Commonwealth Secretariat. So it looks like being a reasonably busy 2 days. With respect to North Korea, Winston Peters has done a lot of media around developments on this, including at the Security Council over the last day or so. Obviously, New Zealand endorses the action the Security Council is taking. We will certainly be implementing the sanctions which they have decided on, and we remain extremely concerned about the situation in North Asia. Any questions?
Prime Minister, on the charities issue, the National Party appointed the Charities Commission, but the chief of the government gave religions and other charities for the critical
No, that's completely untrue, and the minister responsible for the commission, Winnie Laban, has made that clear in her statement today. It should be noted that actually when the bill came back from Parliament before passage setting up the new Charities Commission, it was strengthened to make it absolutely clear that the Commission will not prevent an organisation from being able to register if it engages in advocacy as a way to support and undertake its main charitable purpose. Of course, the main purpose must be charitable, but that doesn't then stop a registered organisation engaging in advocacy around its charitable purpose.
If that advocacy includes criticising the government, you relax to that?
Well, in my experience through time, perfectly valid charities have from time to time taken a swipe at governments of all stripes, so there's obviously no intention to in any way threaten such organisations. Well, I'm very concerned about the rhetoric in the Solomon Islands. There was a very fiery speech given by the Prime Minister last Friday in Parliament, in which he suggested that his government would not hesitate to rescind the legislation which facilitates Ramsi's presence, and it really, while not expressing a firm intention, was a signal of how precariously things are poised in Solomon Islands at the present time. So it is of great concern to us. Well, this was a speech given in the Parliament on Friday, I understand. Today's Monday in the Solomons, and obviously I'll be expecting to be as well informed as I can be by our High Commission in Honiara before I go to Nandi next Monday.
What about the challenge to the Bill and Acting Secretary for them? Would you welcome for another
two? Well, firstly, it's yet to be seen whether a challenge will materialise. There has been some loose talk, but of course one has to have a candidate to run if one is running an alternative. Secondly, I have immense respect for Greg Irwin. I think he has done an excellent job, and I would be most concerned if political manoeuvring were to threaten him doing that job.
There was some controversy about him getting into that job in the first place. Do you think that that may have dissipated now?
Well, at the time there was a very strong contest. There were several contenders, and I was chairing the meetings where the ballots occurred, so we balloted and re-balloted, and Greg Irwin eventually came through as a clear winner. He was the first Secretary-General of the Forum not to come from a Pacific Island nation within the Forum, so to that extent that was why the debate was, I guess, more controversial than normal. But he has done a very good job. He's been a career specialist in the Pacific and his former role in the Australian Foreign Service. And I really think, having worked with him very closely in the drawing up of the Pacific Plan and on many other issues, that he's done an excellent job.
Just on the Solomons issue, I mean, it's obviously quite fluid at the moment, and we don't know what position we'll be in next week, but either way, do you still expect the Solomons and that whole broader issue of failing states to be addressed at this point?
What was always a motivation behind the Pacific Island Plan was that a number of nations within the Forum were struggling. None to the extent of Solomon Islands, which had faltered very, very badly. But there's a lot of pressure on economic, social, environmental sustainability. So the whole idea around the plan was to try and organise regionally around clear priorities to give people a hand up to viability. So, yes, it's a huge concern when, in particular in the Solomons, when so much effort has been made to try to restore basic services and get the economy functioning again and restore basic law and order, that things have got to this pass.
On the delegating legislation issue, does that have the numbers to get that through?
Yes. Yes. I understand the confidence and supply partners have agreed.
Why the rush?
I'm sorry?
Why the rush?
Because as long as you have expenditure deemed outside an appropriation, you've got government accounts that are tagged. So it's deemed important to deal with that issue. Well, you may well have, but there's no reason why you wouldn't deal with it now. No, because the Speaker's already recommended validating legislation. Well, that's not a matter for me. You'd have to go to Dr. Cullen.
And was there advice on this again, sort of on the nature of validating legislation?
I've no idea. The intention of the legislation tomorrow is really to enable Parliamentary Service to continue to operate, because as I've been saying for some time, the breadth of the Auditor-General's overturning of what has been considered to be normal practice is such that it's very hard to know now what Parliamentary Services can pay out on.
And will there be a
sunset clause on it? Yes, there will. While it will give sufficient time for Parliament to draw up rules which are clear and never leave political parties in this position again.
But Speaker,
That's correct, but that will take some time. In the meantime, Parliamentary Services really doesn't have great clarity on what it can pay out on. No, not yet.
So it is a confidence issue, isn't it?
Well, it really hasn't come to that, because we do have support to pass it.
You would see it in that context.
Well, in the end, as a financial measure, I guess so, but it hasn't come to that.
On the issue of Philip Field, there's been more allegations from the Tyler about the relationship and work he was doing on relatives' houses of Philip Field and such. Are you aware of those allegations and do they concern you?
I'm happy to say I did not see the television news last night or the Sunday program. Well, I'm vaguely familiar with them, but obviously I wouldn't comment on them. You've got a conflict of evidence. One says one thing, one says another. The police will look into that in the course of their investigation. Well, his fate really depends on where the police investigation heads. Well, I'd be surprised, because obviously if the minister, the associate minister, had known more about the case than he did, he wouldn't have given the direction. You've got to realise that this case has been going for almost 10 years since Mr. Sirawan arrived in New Zealand on a visitor's visa in January 1997. It has been through endless procedure. At the time Mr. Sirawan went to Samoa, if he had not left then, he would have been deported. His wife already had been. There's not a strong case here. He took into account the fact that there was a New Zealand child, but had he known the extent to which Mr. Field was helping the two, it's extremely doubtful he would have made the same decision. No, absolutely not. They have had full consideration by the New Zealand system going back to 1997. They applied for refugee status in 2001, refused to attend interviews in January 2002, February 2002, had refugee status declined in 2002, kept making appeals to ministers through 2004, 2005. Really, I think it's had full consideration. Well, I think that's all been rendered irrelevant by what has been disclosed since that time.
There's been another case, a few ago, to say that he was told the more money he had, the more chance he would have help from the Stephen. Are you concerned at the number of allegations that may be announced?
Well, all those allegations should go to the police, but that particular one purported to see Mr. Field in a Mungere electorate office when he didn't have one. Well, that's a matter for Mr. Ingram. You'll be well aware that Mr. Ingram had a number of frustrations in trying to get to the truth of the matter.
Can you discuss the payment of attorney?
The payment of what? No, the Cabinet doesn't discuss such matters. Well, we'll be discussing the matter with our caucus colleagues.
Are you expecting any assistance?
I expect the kind of rallying round that I've seen over the last few days. Well, people have a rough idea of what the expectation would be.
Do you know how much has come through 0900 Labour?
No, I don't actually.
How much do you expect to pay?
Quite a lot. Well, you know, that's really a matter for her and all other individual members of the New Zealand Labour Party. There's actually been a very positive and warm response from the broader Labour family in recent days.
What's quite a lot?
Well, that's a matter for me and discussion with the Labour Party.
Is it around 15,000 to 20,000 in that range?
Well, it's really none of your business, Vernon. It's a matter between me as the leader of the Labour Party and the Labour Party. If you looked at the Labour Party's annual accounts, you would find that I'm already the second biggest donor.
The Council voted last night unanimously for 5% tied for MPs of their gross annual salary. So doesn't that give us a fair indication that you'll be in line with that 17,000?
Well, I wasn't on the conference call. I don't have a report to make on it.
Are you concerned by the apparently racist remarks made by the Israeli ambassador about Asians?
If the remarks are as reported, of course they're completely unacceptable remarks. If they were made by anyone in our public service, there'd be quite severe consequences.
What would you expect to do about it, should they be proved correct?
Well, I'd obviously need to take advice on that, but the remarks were not made in any context relevant to New Zealand. They were made in context of the relationship with Australia.
The Law Commission is proposing to do away with the coroner's addition. Do you have a view on that? And obviously, in regard to what happens to Selma and your elected office, do you have a view either way?
I have no view on it whatsoever. I had no role in the police laying charges. That was a matter for them. I might say that the gentleman concerned was also found to be guilty of fraud with respect to welfare benefits, and guilty of something else as well, which slips my mind, but I think willful damage and fraud. So.
You don't have a general view on whether or not...
I have no view on it at all. I've never read the Law of Sedition. I've taken no interest in it whatsoever.